Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon today is Riches Are Meaningless. Based on Ecclesiastes chapter 5, listen to these verses of King Solomon. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is meaningless. When good things increase, those who consume them increase. So what is the advantage except to look on? The sleep of the working man is pleasant, whether he eats little or eats much. But the full stomach of the rich man does not allow him to sleep. There is a grievous evil I have seen under the sun. Riches being hoarded by its owner to his own hurt. But as he came naked from his mother's womb, so he will return as he came. He will take nothing with him that he can carry in his hand. Exactly as a man is born, so shall he die. But here is what I have seen to be good and to be fitting. To eat and to drink and enjoy oneself during the years of his life God has given him. As for every man to whom God has given riches, he can rejoice in his labor. This too is a gift of God. For he will not even consider the years of his life, because God keeps him occupied with the gladness of his heart. Well, today we come to Sermon 3 in the four-part sermon series during the month of July on the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. The writer, King Solomon, helps us to look at some key issues of life through two lenses, through two perspectives, that of a believer and of an unbeliever. The overall theme of the book is this: apart from a faith relationship in the true God, life finally is meaningless. Last week, the theme from Ecclesiastes 2 was pleasures are meaningless. And today our theme is riches are meaningless. Did you know that there are more passages in the Holy Bible about money and possessions than any other single topic there is? More than love? More than forgiveness, more than salvation, more than heaven. Why? Could it be that our loving God knows we sinful people are so easily seduced by the God of this world, money, that people literally sell their souls to get rich, that people see riches and what they can buy as a final meaning and purpose for their lives, that our desire for money can eventually destroy our relationships with other people and finally with God Himself. Now, before today, we look a little more carefully at the ancient words of Ecclesiastes. We'll do as we've been doing the last few weeks. Well, listen to the words of a more modern song that fits our sermon theme. Today's song is from 1992 by a high-energy Canadian pop and rock group that often uses humor to express an important truth. Title of today's song on your blue insert is If I Had $1 Million. Follow the lyrics on your blue insert as it's played over our sound system, and I'll be back with you in just a moment.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house,
I would buy you a house.
And if I had $1 million,
if I
furniture for your house.
Maybe a nice Chesterfield or an Ottoman.
And if I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a K-car.
A nice Reliant automobile.
And if I had $1 million,
I'd buy your love.
We could just go up there and hang out.
Like open the fridge and stuff. And there would always be food laid out for us with little pre-wrapped sausages and things.
Mm.
They have pre-wrapped sausages, but they don't have pre-wrapped bacon.
Well, can you blame them?
Yeah.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a fur coat.
But not a real fur coat. That's cruel.
And if I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you an exotic pet.
Yep. Like a llama or an emu.
And if I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you John Merrick's remains.
Ooh, all them crazy elephant bones.
And if I had $1 million,
I'd buy your love.
Eat Kraft dinner.
Of course we would. We just eat more.
And buy really expensive ketchups with it.
That's right. All the fanciest Dijon ketchup.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a green dress.
But not a real green dress. That's cruel.
And if I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you some art.
A Picasso or a Garfunkel.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a monkey.
Haven't you always wanted a monkey?
If I had $1 million,
I'd buy your love.
For those of you who have been here the last two Sundays, I hope you noticed something different in this song compared to the more serious and sad songs we've been listening to. This song is not serious, it's not sad, it's not hopeless, it's meant to be funny and lighthearted, and yet it makes a point that complements the message of Solomon for us today. The background to this song is this. Some of these band members had been friends all through grade school and middle school and high school, and they were attending a summer camp. And the question around the campfire was this: what would you do if you suddenly got $1 million? And so all the kids made a list of all the things they would do. They would buy a house, a reliable car, a tree fort with a tiny fridge, exotic pets, a limousine to take to the corner store, though it's just a few blocks away, and a dress for their girlfriend, but absolutely not a green dress. And then they would buy plenty of Kraft dinner macaroni and cheese. But then on a serious note, they said, if they could buy all this stuff, then maybe, just maybe, they could buy the love of their girlfriend. This song is meant to be enjoyed, to be sung along with, and to not to be taken too seriously. But it points out for us the dumb and useless things that many people do with their money. Things that simply will not last. And this song agrees with another song of the Beatles, which once said, "Money can't buy me love." Besides looking back at this song from today's realities, we have to realize $1 million just ain't what it used to be. Consider something like housing prices now compared to 1992. But this takes us back to Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. Solomon, you see, was wealthy. He had it all. But at the end of his long life, Solomon looks back on the life that he led and confesses sometimes he let his pursuit of riches and money destroy his relationship with God. And he helps his readers to look at money now through the standpoint of money as God. Money as that which I look to for my highest good. Money as that which, as Martin Luther says, I fear love and trust above anything else. Today, let's just take a look at a few of Solomon's words. Verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. This, too, is meaningless. No amount of money can satisfy a person's deepest longings. You've heard me say it before. You can hear me saying it again. Saint Augustine put it this way. The heart is restless until it finds its rest in you, O God. As a pastor, I have never held the hand of a dying person, and I've held a few, who said to me with their last breath upon this earth, "Oh, I wish I only had more money." The love and pursuit of money will never bring peace with God nor with yourself. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 puts it this way. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the holy faith. Verses 12 and 17, Solomon says, the sleep of the working man is pleasant, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of the rich man does not allow him to sleep. Through his life, he eats in darkness with vexation, sickness, and anger. Solomon says, increased money brings increased worry. What am I going to do with it? How can I get more of it? How can I keep pumping life into this false god money so it doesn't let me down? But it's not just the rich who let money rule their lives. I have a very dear family member who I love very much, whose every daily moment seems to revolve around what they want to do or what they need to do with money. In any conversation I have with this person, the topic keeps getting back to this money theme. They are not at peace, and it grieves my heart. Verse 15, Solomon says, maybe that woke you up. Solomon says, and listen carefully to this verse. As he came naked from his mother's womb, so he shall return. He will take nothing with him that he can carry in his hand. From this passage of Scripture, we get this famous saying, you can't take it with you. Another insightful saying is this. You will never see a funeral hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer on the way to the cemetery. And our Lord Jesus himself told a parable about a rich fool who made his money his God, and this God abandoned him at the moment of his death. Listen to Jesus' words in Luke 12. The land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he said to himself, What shall I do? I no longer have a place to store all my goods. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones. Then I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. Now who will own what you have prepared? So it is for the man who lays up treasure for himself, but is not rich toward God. Again, worshiping the money God can destroy you and your relationship with the true God now and forever. But wait. It's far too easy for Christians to hear this message and to say to themselves, yeah, I know people like that. I'm sure glad I'm not like that. Money is not a problem for me. Really? Then why would God have so many passages in the Bible about this topic? Because he knows that the money God even has its claws on his own people. On you and me. There's no time today to share a big list of examples. Just two. Real quickly. Let's talk about charities and the church offering plate. Do you have a hold of your money? Or does your money have a hold on you? Do you control your money? Or does your money control you? Do you see money as a gift from God to use to thank him and to serve others? Or something you have to protect and worry about? When legitimate charities contact you, or when the Sunday offering plate comes your way, be honest, what's your gut reaction? Who's trying to get my money now? Or how might I use what God has given me to serve him and care for others? Oh, I got to worry about me, myself, and I. Or I will give with a joyful heart, knowing that God will take care of me. Solomon himself says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, when we trust that God will care for us, we are freed from our slavery to money. Solomon says in verses 18 and 19, here's what I found to be good and fitting. To eat, to drink, to enjoy oneself under the sun in the years of his life God has given to him. For every man to whom God has given wealth to rejoice, it is the gift of God. When we know that God loves us and cares for us, and that everything we have in this life, he simply lends to us, we can enjoy our money and possessions and not be ruled or enslaved by them. Here's a secret for you this morning, folks. By the way, we're almost at the end of our sermon, if you're timing. Did you know that riches have something to do with your very salvation? And riches are proof that God loves you. It's true. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Jesus gave up the glories and the riches of heaven and came to our earth to be poor, all the way poor, to laying down his life on the cross for you and for me to pay for our sins. Jesus' poverty and his death bought for you true riches. The forgiveness of sins. Life everlasting in heaven. And what Jesus did for you, you heard it in the children's sermon today. What Jesus did for you made him your redeemer. In ancient times, a redeemer is one who pays the price to free somebody from slavery. Your slavery and mine is to sin and to death. But Jesus paid the price to set us free. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 tells us the price that was paid. You were redeemed, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And today, in the baptism of Stephen and Alexander, we have seen in a clear and a dramatic way how Jesus the Redeemer has delivered these eternal riches, delivered them today to this man and to his son. Stephen and Alexander, you are riches with the, you are rich with the very riches of God for all eternity. The very last words of that funny song we listened to today said this: if I had $1 million, I'd be rich. Maybe, maybe not. But in Jesus Christ your Lord, you are indeed rich with the very riches of God. Nothing can ever take those riches from you. Those riches you really can take with you now and for all eternity. In the name of Jesus, your Redeemer. Amen.